May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I said earlier that today is Pentecost Sunday, an exciting day in the history of Christianity. It is an exciting day in the history of who we are as God's people. And so today we are beginning the third and final section in the Apostles' Creed. You recall that over the past few months we've been doing series on the Apostles' Creed. In this section, we look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that I believe in the Holy Spirit. And he carries on the Holy Catholic Church, and then he carries on. The day of Pentecost commemorates the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians mark this date as the beginning of the Christian church as we know it today. But historically, Pentecost is a Jewish feast celebrating the giving of Torah. It was celebrated 50 days after Passover. You remember that in Exodus, when the Lord was delivering the people of Israel from Egypt, they were asked to observe a Passover. They were asked to kill an animal and then put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. Now, when the angel will see the blood, the angel will walk past. So that was the inauguration of that Passover, a feast or a festival among the Jews. And then 50 days after that, when they had left Egypt, they were pilgrims. They were pilgrims and they settled in Mount Sinai, during which the law was given to Moses. It was about 50 days. And they were to mark that day. They kept marking that day. It was, and it has always been, and is still, a very big festival among the Jewish communities. Within Western branches of Christianity, the day of Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Easter. Church services on this day are marked in some traditions, and I believe in some congregations, we mark by red robes and banners signifying the fairy wind of the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, in the Eastern branches of Christianity, the day of Pentecost is one of the great feasts. And then the term, the word Pentecost, derived from the Greek word meaning 50. 50 days from Easter. And that is when we mark the Pentecost Sunday. As was read to us in Acts of the Apostles, when the day of Pentecost came, some versions will say, when the day of Pentecost fully came, the Jews had properly commemorated, they had celebrated the giving of the law of God on Mount Sinai. They spent time, and during this festival, they read the Torah back and back again. Parents will read it back to their children. They try to enact what happened when the law was given to Moses. It was after they had finished all this, with all the festivals, the meal, the eating, the reflection that goes with it, that the Holy Spirit came in accordance with Christ's promise and gave them a new law. We now celebrate this feast, not because of the old historical event, but because of the new one, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And that does not mean that the old law is wiped off. But God has moved in special ways by the giving of the Holy Spirit, in which he promised that the law will be written in our hearts, giving us understanding. As we read the Bible, we are able to understand. And of course, there are certain things in the Bible we may not be able to understand, but we accept. We trust in God who loves us beyond words and times. At that time in Jerusalem was a bit more like London or New York or even Edinburgh. I remember during my first few weeks in Edinburgh, I was always amazed at the number of people that you find along the street. They are taking photos, stories. I was always amazed at the number of the way they pose, you know, and sometimes places you walk past, the tourists are taking photos, and they are very, very serious about that. You know, it was more like that. Jerusalem was more like that. We had a lot of people. And if you've been to Edinburgh during the Edinburgh Festival on High Street, the years I was working at St. Giles and was living at Jeffrey Street, sometimes I had to leave much earlier to catch up with service because of the traffic. The traffic not of cars, but of human beings, because you needed to squeeze in yourself to go through to get into St. Giles. That was the kind of thing that happened in Jerusalem because people had traveled from far and near to celebrate the Pentecost. And suddenly, and so as people lived in Jerusalem and had come, they were speaking different languages. They had different languages they were speaking. And so the reading from Acts of the Apostles points us to different languages that were being spoken in Jerusalem at the time. But on that first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended and filled the hearts of the disciples. The disciples were sitting in fear and in sorrow. They were sitting in agony and self-pity. They were still wondering what was going to happen to them because their master had left them. They lacked the boldness. But when the Spirit came upon them, he inflamed them with love, with fearless utterance, and boldness in preaching Christ. They suddenly stopped being afraid. They became bold, such that the people around were like, are these not just ordinary Galileans? How suddenly have they received this kind of boldness to preach the word? They began to talk about what God had done in their lives, about the life and work of Jesus, his mission on earth, his suffering, his crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension. They were speaking with certainty and boldness. Remember, they had walked with Jesus, they had lived with Jesus, but they lacked this utterance and boldness to speak about him. And as they were speaking about Jesus in different tongues and languages, people were able to hear them in the language they understood. Maybe I would like to pause here to say, there's a lesson for us today as a church. There's often the tendency for the church to live in the 18th century, to live the 18th century life in the 21st century. And we need to understand the dynamics of our community, that the landscape has changed. In fact, before now, and I'll say a little more about that on Wednesday, if you come for that, let's get together. It used to be that it was just Church of Scotland, and that was it. And people just had to go for it. But today we have multiple options in our community here, in the wider community of Scotland. We need to understand the time and season and perhaps be able, under God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, speak the language that our community understands. That does not mean losing the essence of who we are as God's people. But we need to understand the time, the context, the people, the place we are, and be able to apply the right gospel, the right approach to living out our faith. We can talk more about this later on. People were amazed and puzzled at what was going on. They were amazed at the boldness. They were amazed at the strength of utterance. They were amazed at the insight from which these disciples were speaking about Christ. The conviction they had about the work of Christ. They were so amazed. And they said, how come ordinary men from Galilee are able to speak to us in our own language about God's power at work in our world? Yeah, we need today on this Pentecost Sunday to open ourselves up to the power of the Spirit for fresh insight, for fresh energy, for ability to do God's work. To reach out, because we cannot reach out to our community. We cannot convince the world of the grace and the power of God on our own. It is not a philosophical work. It is not an academic theorization. It is something that works by the power of the Spirit. Apostle Paul wrote and said, I have not come to you with the philosophies of men, but I have come to you by the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And so we need God's power in our lives as we work, as we do the work of ministry. We need it now. They needed it in the past. We need it even much more now to serve the purpose of God in our community. I suppose the disciples were as surprised and shocked at what was happening in Jerusalem on that day as their listeners. Perhaps they later remembered what Jesus had said to them, as was read in the Gospel according to St. John. Jesus did explain to his disciples that he will have to leave them soon and go away and go back to his Father. But he promised to send to them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, to be with them. Jesus promised that when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will help his disciples, and of course us today, to understand God's plan for his world. He will help us understand right from wrong. He will teach our minds and remind us of all that he taught while he was physically present. Jesus said, even though I am no longer with you in the flesh, the Spirit of Truth will help you feel my presence. Even though you can't see me with your eyes, Jesus said, the Spirit of Truth will help you hear my voice. My voice in your heart. We speak about the Spirit. We need to be open to the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. It helps us feel this amazing, ever-abiding presence of our God. Jesus said to the disciples, the Spirit of Truth will help you live out your lives, live out your faith among your friends, among your families as my followers. He will help you tell others about me. It is the Spirit that enables or that gives us this utterance, the unction, the boldness to speak about our faith, to share God's love. It was by the power of the Spirit that these disciples, who were ordinary fishermen, they were able to change their world. It was by the power of the Spirit that they were able to reach out to their world. And the gospel came to Scotland many centuries ago. And from Scotland, the gospel went to Jamaica, West Indies, and I've shared this story over time. It was the power of the gospel that reached into West Indies that empowered the free slaves in Jamaica to raise what they call freedom offering. And of course, by extension, there were other fundraisings in Edinburgh, in Glasgow, in Scotland that enabled them to take the gospel back to Africa, to Nigeria. And of course, in 2 Sundays' time, we'll be presented with a book, with a memo of ours in this place, Dr. Ann Jackson. The power of the Spirit enabled her many years ago to serve in Nigeria during very difficult moments. And I'm sure that we'll read more about that in her memo, to see how the power of the Spirit can enable us to do what we think we are not able to do. How the Spirit of God will enable us to serve in areas we may consider impossible as individuals, areas we might consider ourselves to be incompetent. Anyone that God calls, God equips. So today, as it was for the disciples on the day of Pentecost, God's Spirit is with us. And God's Spirit is here to fill each one of us. His Spirit of Truth helps us remember and understand Jesus' teaching. Helps us feel his presence within us, in our hearts. Helps us to belong to his church family, so that in the church we don't feel as members who are on the fringe, who are on the borderline. We feel very much a part and parcel. It is the Spirit of God that enables us to gain this new identity. Jesus said to the disciples, I no longer call you strangers. I call you friends, because A friend knows what his master knows. It is the Spirit of God that brings us into the center, into the heart of what God is doing in our own time. It is the Spirit of God that enables us to feel like we belong to the church family here in Kalug and to the wider church across the world. It is this Spirit that enables us to carry the gospel into the wider community with boldness. And so we become unapologetically Christians. We are bold and courageous. It is the Spirit of God that enables us to serve God's purpose in our time. There are lots before us as a congregation in our community. There are lots of challenges before our nation and our world. But depending on the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do more than we can ever think or imagine. Let's open up ourselves to God's Spirit today and in the days that lie ahead. Amen.